Darren, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. This is the Diabetes Show on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. My name is Peter Alton of Undefeated, and I'm your host for today and the coming weeks. Hello, and once again, welcome to the Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope you had a fantastic week wherever you are in the world. It's really a privilege for me to be able to do this show, to be able to share with you my thoughts, hopefully my help for you as a person with diabetes, and for me to choose guests that I hope are interesting for you and are going to be helpful to you also. If it's your first time listening, then an extra special welcome to you. Although I suppose I should say, for those of you that stick with me, an extra special welcome to you as well. Let me just say an extra special welcome to all of my listeners. Thank you so much for choosing to give up your day or part of your day to listen to me. If it is your first time, or if you've only joined recently, and I know that over the course of the last year with the pandemic around, so many more of you have come on board listening. It's really ramped up the numbers quite incredibly. I know that there will be some of you who have joined who actually haven't heard some of the talks that we've done in the past, some of the shows that might be really, really helpful to you. This is 157 shows. Now, you wouldn't be just giving up part of your day if you're going to listen to all of those. You'd be giving up quite a lot of time because each show is nearly an hour long. It makes me wonder how I've managed to actually produce all those shows in that time. But anyway, what I'm getting at is that all of those shows are still available for you to listen to on UK Health Radio's website.com, ukhealthradio.com, or you can go via a Bitly link we've created, which takes you straight to my page, which is www.bitly.ly/diabetesradio. And there you'll find every single show. You have to scroll through them bit by bit, but you'll see a little description about each one, who's on it and what we're talking about. And hopefully you'll find some things there which are useful to you. The shows that I produce, every single one of them aims to help you to get into what I call the diabetes sweet spot. The diabetes sweet spot is that safe place where you can live with your diabetes. And it's not a static place. It's a very fluid place. So at any point in your life, you can be the safest possible with your diabetes. Now, I started off talking about this relating to feet because I'm a podiatrist. But I very quickly realized that actually, you know what? The diabetes sweet spot really relates not just to diabetes in the feet, but diabetes full stop. Living in that place where your blood sugars are good, where you are looking after your feet, where you are looking after your health generally, where you are exercising, where you are eating the correct things, where you are medicating properly, where you are maybe reversing it if it's type 2 diabetes. And hopefully in years to come, there will be even better medication. Hopefully there'll be a cure for type 1 diabetes and other technology that's going to come in to help us. And today we're going to be talking about just one bit of technology, which I think is going to be a real game changer going forwards. We've got the CEO, the inventor of this bit of technology, who's going to come on the show and you're going to be listening to him talking about it. And we're probably only a year away from actually it being on the shelves and on our arms. That's giving you a bit of a clue as to what it is. But please do stay listening because you will really find, I'm sure, it quite interesting what he has to say. I don't know how many of you are already wearing continuous glucose monitors or how many of you are pricking your fingers, but the best way to be in that diabetes sweet spot is to know that you're in it, i.e. if you aren't testing and measuring yourself, you have got no idea whether you are in it. Okay, you could be feeling great, and we all know that people with diabetes can live with diabetes type 2, particularly for many years without actually being diagnosed. So if you're not testing and measuring your levels regularly, then how can you possibly be motivated to do anything about it? You just won't see the importance of it. So testing and measuring, whether it be by pinprick, whether it be by continuous glucose monitor, or whether it be by some of these other bits of technology that are coming out, that it's really, really a crucial part of being safe in that diabetes sweet spot. So we're going to get onto that a little bit later. First of all, we've got a little bit of news. You know, I scrutinize the news each week, look up on Google various different trusted websites and see what there is to report there. And there's a couple of things that I came up with this past week. And I generally don't go through the whole article because we only get one done, probably. I just give you the headlines and then you can go and look for it yourself. So the first one was one in a publication called Science News, and it's saying diabetes during pregnancy is tied to heart trouble later in life. The link remained even for women whose blood sugar levels returned to normal. The next ones are from my main source that I go to online, and it is diabetes.co.uk's website, where they always have really up-to-date news items every week. They post them there. And if I've got time on the show, I normally try and give you those headlines. So I'm going to go through some of the headlines there now that I've come across since the last show we did. And first one, brown fat found to protect against type 2 diabetes. Did you know you have brown fat and white fat, or at least according to this, you hope you've got brown fat, because apparently it is a tissue that burns energy rather than white fat, which stores calories. I'm going to leave it there because I'll probably get tongue twisted and into deep water if I actually try and explain it more. But do go and have a look at that on diabetes.co.uk's website, and you'll be able to learn a little bit more about the research that's been done there. The bad news is that we don't know yet how you can increase the amount of brown fat that you have. That is unclear according to this article. The next article is headlined, poor gut bacteria could lead to severe COVID-19 symptoms. Now, we've had people on here before talking about the microbiome and our gut and how it can affect diabetes control, blood sugar control. Team from Chinese University of Hong Kong wanting to investigate how the gut might impact the severity of COVID-19. And they discovered that those who suffered with coronavirus had a significantly altered microbiome composition. I'll see if I can get somebody else on the show to talk about that topic at some point, because it was quite a while ago that we did it, I believe. Now, the next one's an interesting one. Quite often when I am recording these shows and often when I'm listening back to them, I often listen back to them when I'm driving to double check that it's sounding okay. And quite often the kids are in the car, and hopefully I'll play this one back when they are in the car. Although we're not going out in the car really very much at the moment, of course. I might just play it back to them. Eyesight warning over increased screen time use during lockdown. It's a battle that I think every parent is having, and probably some of us parents ourselves are spending a bit too long on screens. There's some research being done, and people are being advised to really be careful with how much screen time they're having, and not just that, but actually to take a break, and not just an ordinary break, but to look at something about 20 feet away for a while as a break, so you're getting your eyes used to long distance as well as just all that short distance close-up focus stuff. Eye research has shown apparently that the overuse of devices can lead to myopia, otherwise known as short-sightedness. That's why it's so important to take these screen breaks, especially among children. The next one, I'm sorry, it's another negative COVID-19 one. Study shows COVID-19 shortened life expectancy in Americans. I'm pretty sure that's going to be not just Americans, but yeah, over here in the UK, it will probably average out like that. They reckon that the pandemic has shortened life by 1.13 years. Looking at it, the average person lives 77.48 years. And it's the largest single year decline in life expectancy in at least 40 years. Now, I should point out this, actually, looking at it, I've just read the next paragraph there, and I will just spend a little bit longer on it, because the next paragraph says that for people from black or other ethnic minority backgrounds, the figures are even worse. The researchers predict life expectancy will shorten by 2.1 years to 72.78 for black people, and for Latinos by 3.05 years to 78.77. Obviously, these are estimated averages from what the data they've got, but do have a read of that, and I'm sure you'll get a clearer understanding of where they're coming from reading that. Next one I'm going to breeze over fairly quickly. It talks about China introduces anal test swabs to detect COVID-19. I was going to breeze over it, and then actually I did read a little bit of it, and I realised that actually maybe we should mention it in a bit more detail, because apparently the virus lasts longer in the digestive tract and excrement compared to the respiratory tract. So whereas somebody who tests positive, they might be asymptomatic and recover quickly, there may be no trace of the virus in their throat after 3 to 5 days, but it would still be around in their stools, etc. So obviously hygiene, going to the loo, which obviously is important anyway, needs to be particularly important. I'm going to whiz through the next three because time is ticking. Just go and have a look if you are interested in it. Modern world substances behind sharp allergy increase. And then there's one, tobacco and marijuana smokers exposed to toxic chemicals. And then a simple stair test could determine heart attack risk. And the final one we're going to spend a little bit more time on, particularly being a podiatrist, COVID-19 linked to serious leg blood clots. And this was interesting, actually, because I was on a course the other day, online, of course. Of course, it's going to be online, isn't it? And with a vascular surgeon over here from the UK, and he was talking about how they're having to do more amputations, not necessarily in people with diabetes, but people generally where this complication of COVID-19 is causing these thromboses, these clots, and there's nothing they can do to in many cases, other than to amputate. So I guess the bottom line is keep safe, keep well, keep out of the way of this virus. Make sure you are doing all the things that we know we're supposed to do. I'm not going to bang on about them now, because we all know what we should be doing by now. Problem is, some of us are getting a little bit lazy about it. Make sure you wash your hands regularly. Make sure you're keeping your distance, keeping your mask on. Please, just, you know, we're getting closer and closer to vaccinating more and more people, particularly over here in the UK, that where there's so many vaccinations taking place. It would be a shame to catch it. And remember, once you've had the vaccination, you can still catch it, particularly in the first few weeks. So please do be careful. Now, that is the items in the news this week. A couple of weeks ago, I had an item in the news, and it struck me so much that I actually contacted the CEO of a company, and he agreed to come on the show. And that is what we have as a special treat this week for you. His name is Sabir Chowdhury, and he is from a company called Afon Technology. Now, before we listen to him, he chose a song. He chose a song. I'm emphasizing he chose the song, because many of you who know what my favorite music is probably are fed up with me playing Bruce Springsteen. But he chose a Bruce Springsteen song. It's called Human Touch. And I hope you enjoy it, because I know I will and Sabir will.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 Regenex clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Away, girl, ain't no kindness in the face of strangers. your blessings, my darling. I got a deal for you right here. Just a little of that human touch. Ain't no mercy on the streets of this town. Ain't no bread from a heavenly skies. Ain't nobody drawing wine from this blood. It's just you and me tonight. Tell the end of touch. Yeah.
That was Bruce Springsteen and Human Touch, as chosen by our guest for the show today. Our guest's name is Sabir Chowdhury, and he is the CEO of Afon Technology.
So Sabir, it's great to have you here on the Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio. Thank you so much for joining me.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
Great. And that was your choice of song that we just played. I know my listeners are probably not going to believe me when I say that it was your choice, because I am renowned on this show for playing my favourite songs. And that's why I started asking my guests, actually, because I thought people would be fed up with Meatloaf and Bruce Springsteen and what have you. And then you go and choose a Springsteen song. So, brilliant. That's fantastic. It's made my day, but maybe not my listeners. You chose Human Touch there. Tell us a little bit. I mean, are you a Springsteen fan, or why did you choose that song?
Okay, so you might have seen a movie called Blinded by the Light. It's about a young lad growing up in Luton back in the 80s, and at school he gets exposed to Bruce Springsteen, and he thinks it's the most amazing songwriter around.
Which he is, but go on.
Which he is, you know. And I remember someone saying on a radio at one point that Bruce Springsteen is to reality what Michael Jackson is to fantasy. Right? Okay. And I remember listening to Bruce Springsteen in that time, and I really related to it, growing up in Birmingham at that time. And when this movie came along, Blinded by the Light, it was literally my life, how I grew up. Okay. That kid experience, how his parents had to work, working class family, and that was it. That was my life. My mom was a seamstress, very much like this guy's mom. Dad had to go out to work, and he was trying to raise money to go and watch this Bruce Springsteen concert. That was exactly what I ended up doing. I went to that Bruce Springsteen concert, but the one in Birmingham. Okay, so it played at Villa Park, and I was there at that concert. It was absolutely amazing, and that's really where my love affair with Bruce Springsteen started. And Human Touch is definitely one of my favorite songs, because it just oozes empathy, and yeah, it's just one of the songs that I absolutely love. You know, there's lots of other music that is put out there, but this has to be one of my favorites.
Well, that is a good reason for having it. And assuming we've still got some listeners, they haven't all run away now. we won't talk any more about Springsteen. Suffice to say, we're both Boss fans. And yeah, maybe we can talk more about it off the air at some point. But we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about, about your company and what they're doing to help people with diabetes. So please tell the listeners what Afon Technology is all about, please.
So we've been working on a non-invasive blood glucose monitor for diabetics. Okay, and we've been working on that I've been working on it for the last 15 years. It's been pretty much under the radar for obvious reasons. You know, we've got it to a point where, as we've done the research, we've now moved into the development phase. So the end goal is that much closer to realizing this this device that people are going to be crying out for, hopefully. It's totally non-invasive. There's no microneedles associated with it. It goes on the wrist, on the underside of a watch strap, and it measures blood glucose in a totally non-invasive manner. So that's really the essence of our technology. What makes us very different is that it's not a watch. It's literally a sensor that's standalone, and it mates with a strap that can actually accommodate a smartwatch of any type, like an Apple Watch or a Samsung watch, for example, or your classical standard, you know, mechanical watches as such. Because what it does, it's got its own battery in there, and it will actually Bluetooth the data onto a smart device. And then the smart device does all the heavy lifting, tells you what your blood glucose is doing. And it will then, if you're wearing a smartwatch on your wrist, it will then transmit the data onto your smartwatch so that you have a visual, the information visually transmitted onto the watch itself. Okay. So that's how we're different. So the key thing here is we're not making a watch. We're making a sensor that can couple with any type of smart device out there.
That's really interesting. That's just gone up in my estimation of what it was actually in that event, because I didn't realise that. But thinking about it, I've seen the photograph and it's got a picture of a watch, but then on the other side of the strap, that's the device that you're talking about.
That's the sensor.
Right.
Absolutely.
So does that mean that you could actually, as long as it's touching your skin, you could use it elsewhere? So potentially?
Theoretically, yes, but all the data that we have or that the tests that we'll be conducting will be conducted on the wrist itself.
Okay.
So that's where the sensor picks up a signature, a particular signature from your blood, and it's characteristic of when it's positioned on your wrist. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's why we're actually initially starting off on the wrist with the stimulants.
Right. Okay. Wow. Okay, thanks.
And it's less it's also less obtrusive as well. You know, you. Whereas with the, you know, for example, if you looked at the Freestyle Libre devices, on the back of your arm, as you're wearing now, or the Dexcom that you place on your stomach, or the Medtronic ones, this is, you know, people tend to wear watches, so it's integrated within a watch and the strap, obviously for that reason, it's not obtrusive.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when I just showed you mine, listeners probably wondered what was going on there. I was rolling up my sleeve to show Sevier that I've got a device on my arm. And it comes off tomorrow, actually, but it's been trying to come off for a few days. So I've got this big bit of tape stuck over the top of it. Because I find that T-shirts catch on it and what have you as well. But I've found a real benefit to having this. And I can imagine that having something that isn't actually attached to you, I'm going to be, you know, it's literally on your watch strap, for example, is going to be, you know, a great boon. Tell us a little bit about your journey into this. I mean, have you got links with diabetes in your family yourself? I mean, what led you to this?
No, I'm an engineer by trade. I used to work for a company called Alcatel Submarine Networks. I used to design underwater fiber optic systems. And I went over and worked for a Canadian company. And it was only when I came back from Canada back in 2001, a friend of mine and myself, we got together and we designed a cancer treatment system for breast cancer.
Wow.
And while we were developing that, we were sitting around thinking, you know, there must be other biological constituents that we can detect with our technology.
Mm.
And we sort of started looking at blood glucose as one of those things. So we set up a very first Heath Robinson experiment, and that really excited us. We could see changes in glucose in a saline solution. And that's really where we started off. I extracted the IP from that company. We had a couple of things that we were working on. My business partner, he preferred the other technology. I preferred the glucose. So we just basically pulled the technologies out and set up two different companies to develop these.
Right.
And that's really where my journey started back in 2005 with this technology. Most of it, Peter, most of that time has been spent on trying to raise money. To get an investor of some sort to believe in your technology, that will make it fly. And it wasn't until 3 days before Christmas in 2015 that I actually got some serious investment in the business, which meant that come January 2016, I could start building a team together. I could afford to pay for the offices where I was sitting in, and build a lab in there and so forth. And that's really where the journey started. And I spent the first 2 to 3 years looking at different types of sensors, and it wasn't until 2018 where we actually then decided on a particular design of sensor that we started running with, and that's the one that's really proved very fruitful. We did some our first clinical trials were in the tail end of 2018.
Okay.
I was quite impressed because we designed the sensor around Easter time. We had filed an ethics application in Germany around summer. We'd got the approval, and we were actually doing the trial, I think it was around September time in 2018. And we tested it, we came back, we analyzed the data, and we didn't think too much off the data. We thought, okay, you know, it's okay-ish. But then what we did is we went back to that test house in Germany, a company called Profil, which is, they do anything related, all the testing related to diabetes.
Wow.
And when they looked at the data, they said to us, they said, guys, you know what? You've got the makings of a truly non-invasive glucose monitor here, which really, really stumped us. We were ready to be shot down by them and shown the way out. But no, they were very, very complimentary about our technology. So we came back, we redesigned the sensor, and we went back in again in 2019, literally a year later. And we got some very, very good results with that. And the sort of accuracies that we got were pretty much on par with the sort of accuracies that you Medtronic and Abbott and Dexcom got when they first went to market with their devices.
Okay.
So that's what really got us very excited.
Yeah.
And it got the shareholders and the directors excited and allowed us to then migrate into the development phase of, with this technology.
Wow. Okay, so you certainly moved quickly once you got going, and to hear that must have been so incredible to have been a bit down on your on yourselves, and then suddenly to have this hope. So that's brilliant. So how does it actually? Well, maybe you don't want to give away the IP on it, as it were. But how does it work? You're shining light, I assume.
No, we're not. We're actually using RF microwaves, okay. Very, very low power RF microwaves we transmit a signal into the blood, and we look at the reflected signal coming back.
Okay.
And it's done every 5-10 minutes. And from that reflected signal, we can extract the signature. We can extract the glucose information out of it.
Wow, incredible!
There's a lot of mathematical heavy lifting going on in that, in the signal processing side.
Yeah.
That allows us to get that glucose information. So, you know, the tough element. So, there's a couple of elements to this. In fact, really, the difficulties and the complexities in the engineering side to be able to transmit the signal in a clean manner, pull it out, and then do the mathematical signal processing on top of that. So these are a couple of things, difficulties that we have had to overcome over the last few years with this technology.
Cool. Well, I'm definitely going to be very, very interested in this and following it on. The reason I asked early on about the wrist or other sites is because in my work, of course, as a podiatrist and you know, medical people, surgeons or dentists, whatever, we're not supposed to wear watches as such when we're working, so it would be good to be able to have it, I don't know, maybe in the future calibrated to be able to work on the ankle or something like that, different settings or whatever. But that's just me being selfish, looking, thinking of it for me.
but we are exploring other sites as well. Okay. So that's still, you know, a bit way ahead.
Okay. So how far away are we, do you think, from actually having this thing on the market, so to speak?
My expectation is to get the product itself CE marked at the end of first quarter next year or early second quarter next year.
Right.
That's where we are. It's a very aggressive timescale, but, you know, I think we've got the team to actually pull it off.
Brilliant.
COVID permitting,
yeah, isn't it just? Man, that seems to be speeding up a lot of things, so who knows? Okay, so maybe just whet the listeners' appetites a little bit with just spelling out to them, because some of them won't have used continuous glucose monitors anyway. They'll just be using, you know, the pinprick methods of testing. Can you just spell out to them the benefits of continuous glucose monitoring, I suppose, and then also on another layer, the benefits of what yours is going to be offering?
So I think, you know, historically, we've relied very much on our HbA1c reading, which is your 3 months checkup that you go and you have a blood drawn, and it gives you your HbA1c value. And your physician will say, well, okay, it's at 5 or it's at 8 or whatever it is. And that lulls you into a false sense of security because it's saying that your blood glucose is at an okay level, whereas what it's effectively doing is giving you an average. So your blood glucose over that 3 month period could be yo-yoing all over the place, but the average is at a normalized value. So that's often misleading. So what people want now and physicians want now is a continuous way of looking at your data looking at the historical data in a very accurate way over a long period of time at fairly regular intervals, because that way they're now measuring what's known as your time in range, which means that how long have you spent within your normal range effect, because the longer that you can spend in that time reduces the complexities or secondary physiological effects that you may suffer. Yeah. So that's exactly what this device is doing. It's going to be giving you that time in range value. It's going to show you when you go out of those ranges. It will alarm you when you go out of those ranges. And here's one of the other advantages with our system. It's actually measuring your blood glucose in real time. Yeah. It's not giving you a historical blood glucose value. It's giving you actual real-time blood glucose value at that time.
Yeah.
And it's going to tell you, like I said, whether you're in that range or whether you're going out of range by way of alarms or, you know, other ways of communication.
Mm. Wow, yeah. I've only been wearing this for, I think it's the third one that I've had on, so I'm coming to the end of 6 weeks of wearing it, I guess.
Right.
And definitely, I mean, I'm type 2, by the way. I'm not type 1. I'm wearing it because I've been doing a diet, trying to get back into a decent range. And I'm a huge believer in testing and measuring. You can't change what you haven't measured, really, or not accurately anyway. You need to know what your body is doing in response to that donut or in response to that run you go for. And that's what's really been interesting to me. But then there is that other level of seeing what the, you know, what the range at different times of day is for me. What's my body doing when I'm sleeping? You're not going to be getting up and pinpricking yourself in the middle of the night. Well, I suppose you are sometimes, especially with type 1. I have a daughter with type 1, so she's on it as well. But yeah, the hassle of having to get it stuck into your arm and you know, as I shared earlier, tearing it off with your sleeve. Product like yours is definitely very welcome. Now, I shared this with a friend of mine, actually, your site. And then, you sort of wait for buses, you know, there's no buses coming, and then they all come at once. So we had that. And then, literally the following day, he forwarded me a thing that Apple and Android are now saying that they're probably going to have something integrated in them. Is that different, totally different technology? Are you aware of they're planning on something in their next watches?
Yeah, so we're aware of some of these big corporates, what they're looking at. And primarily, I think there's three different categories that they fall into. One is what they're calling as Raman spectroscopy, and that uses light as a virus, getting the information out. Then you've got various types of electrophoresis devices, which actually pull out the interstitial fluid through the skin. And then you've got the RF and microwave techniques that we belong to. So you can see that Apple, you know, they've got optical sensors built into their watch, and that's the way that they may actually go. Mm. But I think, you know, it's the way that we position ourselves is the sensor is standalone, and it's agnostic to operating systems. So it'll work with whichever type of watch you have.
And with
whether
a
it's a classical mechanical watch, or whether it's an iWatch or a Samsung watch or whatever, it works. And the beauty with our system is it's not only compatible with current devices, but if you've got smart devices, historic smart devices, as long as it can accommodate the app, you'll be able to use those as well.
So you don't have to have a watch. You can have a phone that's just linked to it by Bluetooth.
Absolutely. Or if you've got some form of fitness app that can accommodate a different app on it, it will be able to, if you can load this app onto it, then it will be able to use our sensor.
Right, wow. Brilliant. Okay, and I got an email the other day. I'm assuming it's because I contacted you guys, from you guys, asking if I wanted to put my name forward as a volunteer. Which, of course, I went, yay, I will. I'm suspecting that because I've put down that I'm type 2, that you may not be quite so interested in me, maybe, I don't know. But I'll probably get my daughter to put her name down as well, and you'll be inundated if we put this out on the radio show. Are you in need of volunteers? Do you want people to come forward and do you want to tell people how to do it on the radio show, or you want to keep it quiet?
we will need volunteers down the road, and in particular we are looking for volunteers to do our usability studies. Okay, by that I mean, you know, we will, and this is, you know, we're about maybe 4 to 6 months away from sort of running those usability studies, and that will be very much like, you know, we will give you an image of what the user app will look like, and we will ask for your comments on that, and say, you know, what do you like about it? What do you think about this? Does that work for you? Or what would you like to see in the user app? Yeah. So those sorts of usability studies are very, very important to us, because effectively, you know, if you leave it to engineers will design this, you know, with umpteen bells and whistles on it that are totally useless.
Yeah.
What we really want is something that's fit for purpose, something that a diabetic is going to actually need on that watch or on that app. You know, so for example, your time in range, you know, a graph of showing what it's been like over the last day or so. So that's where we'll need volunteers to interact with for that. Because, and, you know, we are going to be running clinical trials down the road at various NHS trust sites in the UK. But those trust sites will actually get their own volunteers that subscribe to them. But for usability studies, I think we're looking for a general population approach with that.
Well, I'm certainly happy to help out in any way I can. It sounds like a great, great thing to me. How can the listeners find out more about, well, not about you, maybe they don't want to know whatever music you play, but how can they find out about your product, your company?
It's pretty much what we're putting on the website at the moment. We're starting to put out a newsletter, okay? But I'm a firm believer in not counting your chicks until they're hatched, effectively. I mean, what I want to do is, yes, we've been very careful over the last few years. I've been working on this, as I said, for a number of years, and we've tried to keep under the radar because we didn't want to showcase anything that we couldn't stand behind. Now we're at a point that we can start telling people about our technology and what's to come. So we are putting various things on our website. We try and update it as regularly as we can. We've got a Facebook page, we've got a Twitter page. So what you'll see, if you keep if you look at those pages, you will see any updates that are coming up along the way, and we'll try and keep, you know, it takes a lot of bandwidth to actually update these things, you know, especially when you've got a small workforce and so forth. But the girls are doing a fabulous job on keeping on top of that. So, but I think that's probably going to be our primary go-to press release page on the Facebook side.
On Facebook, okay.
We're also on LinkedIn as well, by the way. So if there's any professional people out there, they can use that platform.
Okay, I found you on LinkedIn. It's afontechnology.com, is that right?
Yeah,
A-F-O-N. So they can go and have a look at that.
Yeah.
Great. Well, I'm not sure if I've missed anything out. Anything you can think of that I've missed out to ask you?
No, I think that, you know, you've covered them, pertinent questions with the technology. We're just really excited about it. And we really can't wait to get this product out there to help people like yourselves.
Great.
My wife is diabetic.
Oh, okay.
And I've got family members that are diabetic. So, you know, first thing on a phone call when I ring them up is, you know, how are you getting on? You know, when can we have our free device?
Have you got any idea of price point on this or not? Not too early to tell.
We're going to be competitive. We're in a very difficult position at the moment because we're still deciding how to pitch it, whether we pitch it at the same sort of annual cost as an Abbott Freestyle, or whether we pitch it at a cost where of a sort of wearable watch type of pricing. So we're looking at those two price points at the moment. At the moment, I think we're probably bordering on around, I'd say, about £500 per unit. Yeah. And remember, Peter, there's nothing disposable with this device.
Right.
Okay. And you know, it's got a shelf life typically of a couple of years, very much aligned with a mobile phone.
Right.
So, you know, I suppose the only thing that's disposable with this is going to be the sticky tape that you'll need to adhere it onto your wrist with. Right. And that's pretty much it.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay. That sounds very interesting. Okie dokes. And very reasonable, I think, you know, especially if you're talking about it over a couple of years and for the benefit you get of it. So, yeah, thanks for that. Right, well, there's one more thing I do need to ask you, and that is you chose a second song as well.
Yeah.
So I just wanted you to do the introduction for that song, please, for me, and just tell the listeners what it was you chose, and if you've got a reason why you chose it, why you chose it.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's every entrepreneur will probably relate to this. You know, it's, as you see, you have lots of backseat drivers that can tell you how to either drive your car or run your business and and so forth. And I think it's having the courage to stand up and having the tenacity to follow through with your dreams.
Yeah.
And, you know, just putting aside all the naysayers that are trying to pull you down with this. Mm. And I just look back and I think, you know, had I listened to these people that were putting me down or thinking this wasn't going to work,
yeah,
where would I be? Certainly not where I am now. And I think that the fact that I have the opportunity to change the lives of lots and lots of people around the world, people I know, people I don't know, is it really lifts me up. And this song by Kia LaSalle in a very famous movie is called This Is Me. And that reflects my journey, I suppose, to a certain extent.
From The Greatest Showman, of course.
Absolutely.
This Is Me. Well, that's definitely going to get the listeners tapping their feet, I'm sure. I wish you all the best. It is great when you hear stories like yours and you have a struggle you've had to go through to get to where you are and you know, like you say, naysayers and what have you. So I can only wish you all the best, and you certainly have my support there, and yeah.
Look forward to it too, Peter.
Okay, folks, let's leave the listeners with This Is Me.
The station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer. Part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
To the dark, hide away, they say, 'cause we don't want your broken parts. I've learned to be ashamed of all my scars. Run away, they say, no one will love you as you are. But I won't let them break me down to dust. I know that there's a place for us, for we are glorious. This is me. Look out, 'cause here I come. And I'm marching on to the beat I drum. wanna cut me down. I'm gonna send a bird, gonna drown a man. This is brave, this is bruised, this is who I'm meant to be, this is me.
And that is it for this week's show. You've been listening to Peter Olsen with The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. All that remains is for me to say have a fantastic week. Stay safe in the diabetes sweet spot, living the ideal diabetic lifestyle. I look forward to sharing more with you next week. Take good care and God bless.